December 30th, 2015, it's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Hey, all right, great. Thanks for coming out, everybody. Good to see everyone tonight. All right, great. Hope everyone made it here safely. Great. Yeah, I did too. Well, actually, I didn't at all. I was jumped tonight on my way over here by a girl gang. It's a little embarrassing, but there was a pack of them, and, well, the leader of the pack, she stepped out in front of everyone, and she pulled a knife, you know, out of her hair, and she waved it around in my face and said, "You better get out of here, or I'm going to cut you." And I thought, well, I better get out of here, she's going to cut me. But I didn't do that. I didn't leave. I did something else. Because, you know, sometimes when it's time to do the right thing, I do the wrong thing. I do the opposite thing. When it's time to do the right thing, I like to do the wrong thing. So what I did was this. I turned around. And I bent over like this. And I said, "Well, come on then. Well, come on. Cut it. Come on then. Cut it. Yeah, come on then. Do it. Come on. 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 Slice it and dice it. Come on. Chop it and screw it.
Show 2 days left, 2015. I'm in Pedro, but I'm not Brother Matt's. Brother Matt's on a boat. Brother Matt's on a boat. I don't know where. I think he's going to Mexico and back, so he ain't back yet. So, in place of that, it's just man alone, but not actually alone because we got Jibs.
Yep.
Pat of, parts north of here. They made the hell ride down to Pedro.
But it was so fast.
But it was a good one, a quick one. And we start off with Like Sonny, John Coltrane, I think. Yeah, Sonny Rollins. For him. And then Come On by Dynasty Handbag, which is also with the spiel in front of it.
Yeah, you're going to play that?
That's what we just heard.
That's what, I mean, wow, you're going to play that in the past that was the future a minute ago, and now it's the present?
Real strange. The Pachuca with the, you know, they used to have the big pins in their hair. Well, you said it was a knife.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Pachuco. Like
Pachuca
that Tom
ladies.
Waits song that's like, "Hey, Pachuco."
Yeah, but it's the lady part of it. And they would have Pachuca. These pins in Pedro High here where I graduated. here 76, but it was like 20 years before 50s. There were some ladies, and they had these big, what I was told was big pins in their hair. So when you got in a fight with them, watch out for the pins.
Yeah.
But that was intense. And then, but I thought maybe a good way to start the show.
Yeah, that's pretty much. It's classic handbag, that song, for sure.
Classic handbag. Mm-hmm. Okay. Can you tell me, Jibs, your first music memory that you still have? Like most of mine.
God damn. I have a lot of...
That's a hard question.
Yeah, because I have a lot from different time periods.
The earliest.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Okay, I was born in 75.
Something at home, something in the car.
Yeah.
Your parents.
Well,
radio. Or
my parents.
Or some of the older brothers, sisters, somebody playing something for you?
Well, I have lots of good tidbits about that, but I know there's really early stuff. I mean, my parents listened to a lot of the Beatles, and I remember Abbey Road really clearly.
Okay.
I loved, it's like, it's almost like children's music. There's all this, like, colorful, and the Maxwell Silver, and the Hammer, Sunshine, and the Octopus's Garden, and...
There's no sad ones on that one. Is Rocky Raccoon on that, or is that
No,
that's
on
album?
The White Album. Yeah, so, I don't know what...
Because that's kind of a sad one.
That's a grim record, for sure. That's like, I think, my favorite
I heard
one.
That they were never together.
Really?
They do parts, and then other guy'd come in.
Oh.
But actually, what wrecked the band I heard was actually George, not those two.
Really?
George was tired of only getting one song a record.
Yeah.
I saw it by accident on a Scorsese movie in the play. I didn't know a lot of that stuff about him.
I saw this Tig Notaro skit where she talks about George getting Yellow Submarine, and that's the one song he got on Yellow Submarine was Yellow Submarine, and going home to his wife and being like, honey, I got a song, it's called Yellow Submarine. She was like, how's it go? And he's like, we all live in a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine. And then it repeats, and she's like, cool, that's good.
Hey.
Good. I mean, it's not my joke, but what's that?
There was a movie.
Oh, I remember the movie very well.
None of their voices. They had fake Beatle voices.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Is that weird?
I remember the part that with the blue meanies and.
Yeah.
I got a hole in my pocket.
Yeah, but that ain't them.
That's not them.
That's actors playing them.
Wow. Lies. So many lies.
Yeah, so many lies. So, okay. So it's Beatles is your first memory, music
I guess.
Memory.
I mean, there's also, like, Linda Ronstadt in the car. My mom was really... I have some records that my mom gave me that she had... Like, I have an Otis Redding record. I have a Sly and the Family Stone record she gave me. I have...
Which one? Stan?
Yeah. I have Stan, and I have a Bessie Smith record she gave me.
Great song.
My mom was really, really liked music a lot.
Wow. So, okay. Was she a musician?
Nope.
Okay, just a listener.
And my brother was older and more of a metal guy.
Ah, so you got music from there.
Well, I have a really good memory of my brother sitting me down. I was 9, because it was 1984, because it's a record, 1984, Van Halen. He sat me down and he was listen to this song. And he played me some... I don't know. I don't remember which song it was. Probably Hot for Teacher.
I was just going to say Hot for Teacher.
Yeah, because I, like, performed to that
a little bit.
That's a good lick, though.
I love
it's
that
kind of
song.
ZZ Top.
The beginning is.
Lightning Hopkins.
Oh, my God. That's so good. And then he told me that this was the greatest guitar player in the entire world. And I was like, oh, my God. I can't believe I get to listen to the greatest guitar player in the whole world. Then he was on the Michael Jackson record, so that convinced me.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he plays on Beat It.
Well, that's what older brothers are for.
Yeah, nonsense.
And then to buck up against later. You know, we're after Hanukkah and Christmas, but I got a couple songs. You know, Bob Levy's supposed to come last week and do a special Christmas Eve show. He's spaced. He got so busy, so we're going to have to do it sometime in February.
Okay.
The last few months, the guests have been arranged by one of the guests here today. You've been doing it to help me out.
And I said, a curator.
Yeah, curator, right. So don't worry about Christmas Eve because we got bubbly. I wrote, you know, and I didn't hear anything the next day. Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, no.
So anyway, here's three songs.
newborn king to see. Ba-rum-bum-bum-bum.
Why, from Pedro Show. We heard that Xmas music, Last Lizard, New York Chinatown Xmas 1988. Good job, Alex. Petra and Barry doing Soul Drummer Boy. And then finally, Many Birthdays, Three Ghosts of Xmas. Was that like last year, where he does a Christmas song?
Yeah.
And you had me come in. Although that wasn't really a Christmas song.
I know.
The Lime and the Coke in it. Oh, there was one, though. There was Frosty.
But we added Frosty.
That's right,
the
Frosty.
End. It became Frosty.
Spliced in there. It wasn't there when I was there. But.
Yeah, so we added the bells. And
that's one of them songs that never changes chord.
Yeah.
I found some more like that.
Really?
Land of a Thousand Dances.
Oh.
Na 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 na. Yeah, there's one part.
But I never heard.
There's some songs that have been hits that only have one part.
Yeah, like the Talking Heads song.
Funhouse. You know, it gets softer, it gets louder, but it's the old one. It's one lick. TVI Stooges. That's one lick.
Boom, 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 boom. Pressure. Boom.
Yeah. Under Pressure?
Well, yeah. He has like a, there's like a chorus part.
But no, but as far as like the music and the chords not changing.
Yeah.
The Schmielsen, Harry Nilsson song, it's just C7 the whole way through. I didn't realize
that. I like that kind of songwriting.
It's kind of where the singing can change over it, but like the backtrack is all one. Well, tell me about you guys doing that. Is it the same thing where he likes to do a holiday song?
Yeah, from what I understand, it's for the Conan O'Brien holiday party. They have their staff makes a CD. All the people, all Conan's staff, they all like chip in holiday songs and write or like record holiday songs for the CD, and they play it for the holiday party there. Or
okay.
What a
creative
bunch.
But the TV people don't get to see that. It's private.
I don't
Their
know.
Their own party.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
How long's Barrett? You know, he was with Patti Smith a long time.
Yeah.
And he's been doing this ever since, right?
Yeah, it's cool to go over there when the studio's empty.
When you brought me, it was empty.
Yeah.
He was big, big Pat. So, Jibs, back to you and the musics. When did you start getting involved and wanting to do it? Or maybe we should first talk about going to gigs. When did you start going to gigs?
Well, let's see. Oh, yeah. Well, I did want to tell you that I had my own radio show when I was about 9 or 10.
Damn.
What?
But it was just for me.
Yeah.
And I would make these recordings. You know, yeah, exactly. I would, like, push record, you know, my little tape deck.
Cassette.
Yeah, cassette. And I'd be like, oh, no. We have Duran Duran. Oh, my God, I wish. And then I would find the song. I mean, it was a big production.
Yeah.
I also would. Yeah, I was obsessed with the radio, and I would call into this one radio station. I won all this shit.
Is that
from
here?
This
SoCal?
NorCal.
Okay.
And I won this one contest once because I knew all the names of all the people that starred in Leave It to Beaver. So I won, all the records from the Top 40 Countdown.
Dave Matthews?
The Dave Matthews Band won.
No, but with Jerry Mathers.
Creed.
Oh, no. Jerry Mathers.
Mathers.
Hugh Beaumont. Barbara
Beaumont
Billingsley.
For sure is the dad.
Tony Dow. And
Tony
Jerry Mathers as
Wally,
the Beaver.
Right.
Oh, my God.
And then,
that's so funny.
Who was Eddie Haskell?
I don't know. He didn't get a credit.
Why not?
No.
He was funny.
He was weird.
Yeah, of course.
Name is his
you would
weird.
You would like that guy. Any asshole.
So you won a bunch of prizes.
Won prizes, wrote a pizza jingle. Yeah, well, I was
at 9?
Yeah, 9 or 10, I think. And then, I was, grew up kind of, around a lot of hippie boho-y types.
Still, that's pretty productive.
Well, for that upbringing, yeah, very much so. Ticking things off the list. So I had, I don't know. I guess when I started going to shows, though, I grew up in, north of San Francisco, and sometimes bands would come up there to play, you know, when I was really, 12, 13.
Yeah.
And then we had some local punk bands, but none of them, I mean, everybody did either like a punk band,
Cotati,
Mendocino County,
Mendocino, oh,
yeah,
okay,
and then,
okay.
Yeah, but we would drive like really far to go see a band
you,
for
I think
sure.
You'd have to.
Yeah, and then when I moved to the Bay Area when I was 15, I started going to Gilman,
of
and
course.
You know, see. It was mostly just I went to a lot of ska shows, a lot of punk shows,
yeah,
a lot of reggae concerts. Yeah.
Well, when did you want to make music?
Well, that was like teenage years. And then when I got, fast forward, I went to art school and got kind of into
there
some
in
weirder
city.
Shit. Yeah, San Francisco Art Institute.
Yeah.
And sort of discovered like a
avant-garde.
Ah, well, yes. Yeah, I guess
trippy
so.
Music.
Trippy stuff.
Experiment.
I mean, I guess I was always kind of really into a broad spectrum of stuff. And then I started, my whole scene of people was like all bands / artists that were kind of doing show, like a lot of shows and.
You were like performance?
Like club shows, you know,
oh,
like
doing
playing,
gigs, yeah.
Playing shows, but like they would be a little bit more performative or like mushed up with some other experimental shit. And then I started writing my own songs on a keyboard by myself and recording them on like a 4-track.
Is keyboard your first instrument?
Yeah, but I mean I don't really play anything. So and then
it's all sounds at the end of the day.
Well, it's all sounds.
And rhythm.
Yeah.
Laughing and crying.
Oh, I totally forgot that I was in this. I was in like a garage band called the Roofies, and we did all these.
You mean like the pills?
Yes. Do you mean like the date rape drug? Oh yes, I'm familiar.
Down.
You can say it.
Or dudes who will repair.
Yeah. Or the roofies, yeah. Those, it's about blue collar workers.
Oh, the roofers.
But if they're little, they're fine.
What about this? The life would be easier if we didn't have feelings.
Okay, so you just want to skip to the like really dark,
is that more recent?
Dark times? No, that's,
oh, that's the dark times.
That song.
I thought it was a little bad.
No, that was probably my first. That was one of the first Dynasty Handbag songs I ever wrote.
Let's listen to it.
Yeah.
Once upon a time, there was no story to tell. People were alone. People didn't talk. People didn't go for walls. People were just persons.
нашей муке.
Thank you.
Light in me, darkness and nothing else, on the edge of a forest, warm and secure with the light, or cool and different summer night, but little else be had. Enough room to sit and think, a decent place to write, having to stay within the circle of that life that defines my world, or the boundaries thereof. But I love this place in the big house, very quiet, dark night, so little sound and sight, perfect for a spotlight out of everything, me. And hence I write, surrounded by that yellow light. Thank you.
a racehorse, and a fine racehorse indeed. He won all kinds of races. He won the Pocono Downs and the Kentucky Derby. One day Eddie was eating some apples, but they were fermented and he got drunk. He was all liquored up, running on the racetrack, when Eddie tripped and he went kerplunk. Broke his leg and they said we should shoot him. Some people said he smells like a keg. Don't you know that we can never kill Eddie? So we took him to the vet and we got him a fake leg. And now he's Eddie the horse with a prosthetic. Eddie the horse with a prosthetic. Eddie the horse with a prosthetic leg. He's Eddie the horse with a prosthetic. Eddie the horse with a prosthetic. Now the moral of the story is to always check your apples. If they happen to be fermented, then you should eat them and you should get drunk yourself. Eat those apples and get drunk yourself. But be careful. I don't want you to trip and fall down the stairs. You might break your leg, and you'll end up like our good friend. Eddie and Horse with prosthetic. Eddie and Horse with prosthetic. Eddie and Horse with a prosthetic leg. He's Eddie and Horse with prosthetic. Eddie and Horse with prosthetic. Eddie and Horse with prosthetic leg. He's Eddie and Horse with prosthetic. Eddie and Horse with prosthetic. Eddie and Horse with prosthetic.
That would be easy if we didn't have feelings. Or Power FM radio jocks. Dice the handbag. Then we had Ratata from Melodoika You Need. Opet. Kind of a cappella thing.
From Opet.
Brand new Disciplina Kichma. You know Opet?
No.
Okay. Great bass player from Belgrade, this guy. With the Koya band.
Oh.
Kind of like Jimmy. With Wow Wow and
oh, cool.
Fuzz on the bass guitar. Brand new album. You will understand in time, Dan Francia, I think he's from Sacktown. Dig into China, Chinese herbal medicine, they ain't from China. Chai Heki Bong Wok, Dr. Amazon, one of the Smegma guys gave me that last week in Portland. Unfinished sketch number 6, Black Moth Super Rainbow, Mr. Tom, Pittsburgh. Pool Light by Joe Brewer, the Jack Brewer's cousin, Madison. Lucretia Borgia Waltz, Luther and Toby. Toby is Larry, who I got to do last 2 years. Stooges with him on the drums, and then this Tab Falco tour. And finally, Water Landing with Eddie the Horse. So your first song you wrote was this Life Would Be Easier If We Didn't Have Feelings on a keyboard. What, like Casio?
Yeah, I feel like that was
four track.
Yeah.
And why was it coming from a dark place?
I think it was just, just pretty depressed, you know, like, but I also thought that it was kind of funny that I was, like, sitting alone.
Modeling.
With this cat. Yeah, like, it was like a joke on myself, where I was just like, oh, wallowing, like.
Who's that guy?
If we didn't have feelings, wouldn't it be nice?
What was that comedian?
But
Sammy Maudlin. There was a TV show that didn't seem like a show. It was like some station. John Candy?
Oh.
Right?
God, I think.
And Guy Lombardo, some guy who owned the station fake like he had to be in a wheelchair.
Oh.
There was a guy named Sammy Maudlin. I don't know, that word always comes up.
Sammy Maudlin.
It would fake, like, take TV shows and stuff. It was something really late. I think it was from Canada.
Oh, that makes sense.
We're at the end of the first hour. Last show, 2015 for Watt. Hold tight for hour 2. December 30, 2015, it's second hour, Watt from Pedro Show.
Hello, dear. What brings you over to my house?
Yeah!
Started hour two off of The Neighbor. What about some insights on The Neighbor?
Oh, The Neighbor. That's a weird song. That whole record
that's
is really
life, but that's a
weird
life story, right?
Yes, it is, by Quat. Yes, it is. I always wanted to live at the neighbor's house. We had these, like, really different kind of people living in NorCal. Like, it was... I don't know. It was out in the woods, and there were some all walks of life. But the people that lived the closest to us happened to be the most normal, straight-laced people. In fact, I think the dad was kind of a dick, but the daughter went to school with me, so I would go over there. They wouldn't let her come to my house because it was a shit show. But their house had, like, I don't know, it was just, like, it had carpet and a TV and, like, the refrigerator was full and... It just felt like how it was supposed to look on television or something like that. And everything in my house was just, like, not quite right. Sometimes very wrong, but...
Henry had that poem, Family Man.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Actually, Family, the first guy to have the Christmas lights. But actually, Family Man ended up saving the Pat. Some crazy lady lit a fire, and Family Man helped put it out in the backyard. So, yeah.
Whoa.
For all the hell, he came through once. Spanish Sunset Ex Docreus Redux by Laurie Amott and John Truby. Psychic Love Damage, the High Tides version by High Tides. Yeah, of course. high tides, it would be the high tides. that's kind of stupid. Mass Darkness by Insan. I think they're out of Norway. If I Was Orson Welles by Alex Kane. I know he lives in Hollywood, but I think he's from Chicago. Sisu, Stranger Skin. Maybe Silver Lake. And Sore Lips from Fightin'. I can't remember. Maybe England. You remember the first gig you played?
As a solo performer? Because I was
first gig you played. Like you said, that garage band?
Yeah.
What were they called?
The Roofies.
That's right.
Yeah.
How could I forget?
you know, because I really wanted to be in, like,
pick the fucking man.
Yeah. I wanted to be, like, Best
Did you join
Ditto
it,
or
did you start this band?
I started it.
Yeah.
Because I loved, you know, 60s garage and soul and all girl groups and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Well, there was no Roofies then. There was Reds. And
well, not then.
Barbara Tall. You know,
we were going to play in Santa Barbara once, UC Santa Barbara. Yeah. And, of course, they were like, that was inappropriate.
We don't like it.
And we weren't able to do it because
Band-Aids can be tricky.
Band-Aids can be tricky, especially when you're going to play in college and they're talking about a date rape drug.
Or like, you want to cross the border and your band's called My Bike is a Pipe Bomb.
Yeah, not a good idea now.
Spotsky, friends from Pensacola. That was the name of the band. I can imagine every border crossing must have been a nightmare.
My friends are in a band called Child Abuse. Yeah, it's like...
Oh, speaking of the city, I once played with a band up there called Uncle Bob Touched Me.
Do you remember the Cherry Pop and Daddy?
Yeah.
That disgusting,
kind of swing.
Horrible. It was like
right, dressing up in suits.
Stupid ska band that was terrible.
Oh, a ska?
But they were like LA ska.
I think they went through different things because when I played with them, they wore suits and did swing.
Oh, it's so disgusting.
And then I remember, there's another one, Voodoo Glow Skull.
Voodoo Glow Skulls.
It was It was the end of the 90s, and that was happening for... I remember one of the guys told me, Mike, it was all over when they made the Gap ad.
Yeah.
So you didn't get to do Santa Barbara, but what was the first gate?
I think it was just in a bar, and it was me and, like, two of my friends or three of my friends. And they were all really good musicians, actually. They were all, like, weirdo avant jazz musicians and... But they were...
Is there Roofie Recordings?
Yeah. There
you
is.
Flow.
I will.
Yeah,
I will.
I would
maybe I can... I'll bring them.
Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. Actually, I have some on tape. Yeah.
What about the comedy thing?
What about the comedy thing? Like,
well, because kind of... Did it come in before the music? Did the music come?
They came at the
together?
Same time
okay.
a little bit. Like, the music stuff... When I was in that band, like, the band was very performative. Like, I would wear costumes, and I would jump around, and I was, like,
outfits. There was antics.
There was antics. There was a lot of, like, banter and, like, you know, because I was, like, this theater nerd.
The one outfit.
One outfit?
One time I saw Bowie, and they kept tearing outfits off. He had many outfits.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Well, he had helpers.
I've never had any help with anything, ever.
Right. So you wore the one outfit.
Yeah, one outfit.
And there were some crazy outfits.
Yeah,
Well,
there was a band up in the city, Carolina Rainbow.
Oh, I know that. I went on tour with... Oh, God. I didn't even say that.
Okay. But, I mean, there were some outfits.
They did a lot. And I have to say, like, they did a lot with
the
just, like,
word
cardboard
change,
and shit.
Right? I mean, Rainbow, Carolina...
Yeah.
Mashed potatoes.
Carolina mashed potatoes.
You know about this band? And, like, no tunes. You just get up there and start wailing on it.
Yeah.
And,
they're nuts.
Yeah.
Nutters.
So you toured with them. Okay.
I actually just...
Because when I think
a
outfits...
A friend of mine was playing with them, and I just went on a leg of their tour just to hang out.
Okay.
But they played with Melt Banana, which was amazing, and this was, like, in
mask,
the late,
no outfits,
late 90s.
But mask.
Yeah.
I got that. That's Tom Watson's favorite guitar, man.
Oh.
I think that's what they're down to now, is just guitar and singer. Yeah, God.
Oh, that would make sense.
Maury Connell.
So good.
The drummers, they went through them a lot, but they played so fast. Can you imagine
being
the drummer?
That's what happens with drummers.
Remember Troubadour?
Yeah, not, yeah.
I got to play with him.
You did?
Last time was a few times, but the last time Pet was there. It was in West Hollywood. Yeah, it was at the Troubadour.
I think it was really fun. Like, being in that band was really, really fun for me because I didn't really have any musical skills or talent, but I was a really good performer. No, not even that.
Oh, okay.
This was just singing.
Front lead.
And I wished that I had, like, a deep, soulful voice. Like, I wished, you know, that's what I was trying to emulate. But I was so terrible that I just... Yeah, no, I mean, later
on...
You
know about her, right?
Yeah.
She's a blues shatter. Give me your big pigwood and a bottle of beer. She's a great singer.
I mean, I loved, like, all that, you know, all those girl group stuff. And I was just... You know, I loved that kind of music a lot, and we did a ton of covers. We did.
You said you did, had Banter.
What?
You said you had Banter.
Banter. Yes.
The choreography.
In between the tunes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, Banter's spiel.
Yeah.
I was funny.
So is that where you bring in the jokes?
Yeah, and I danced around. You know, I'm a very physical comedian type.
When you sing, you also, like, dance to it. Like, I don't see how anyone could do that.
Yeah, I
how does Britney Spears sing and dance at the same time?
Cartwheel.
Well, because she's...
Madonna did.
How she does do any two things at the same time, really, is the question.
Yeah, because I've heard Isolated. because you're running around. And
it is hard.
I heard Madonna do the same thing. There's a lot of huffing and puffing.
Like, how do you...
Because of the other 20 ladies singing, voices are slightly louder.
It's
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You gotta pace yourself.
Yeah.
You know.
You can't fake dance moves, but you can have other people help sing with you.
Yeah.
And you can be like, and then after this crazy gymnastic dance explosion, I will be just like doing my whisper, like folk song.
Oh, so you pace it.
Yeah, you pace
hills
it.
Hills and valleys.
Exactly.
Hills and valleys.
I just did a show in New York where I did a version of Kate Bush, Wuthering Heights, and I did all of the choreography, her dancing, but it was all like
sweet. Yeah, because she's a dancer.
Rude and fucked up.
Yeah, right.
But I sang it like this. I didn't use any words. It was just
Didn't she just have a big comeback?
She did, because she was like a real...
It's like 2 weeks or something in a row in London playing all these gigs. She hadn't played for years.
Yeah, she
I wish I would have...
Can you imagine that?
She doesn't travel though, right?
No,
they were all in London, like she was in one place.
When I was playing in December, we did a version of Wuthering Heights, and I sang it.
But did?
I did, but I couldn't, I didn't move at all. I was like, I'm a wily, windy morning.
I'll do mine. You do yours, and I'll do mine.
You have a temper.
Mezzo soprano.
I do. I love you too. I like it when she does. When she goes deep, she's like, my Wendy, my only master.
My only master.
Oh my God, it's so amazing. Like, I can't do that, so I just exaggerate what I can't do.
So you said there's a theater component.
Big theater component.
And that's because of school, probably. You had drama.
I hated drama, and then I also went to this hippie performing arts summer camp every year.
Wow.
I was just like a born lesbian, as
that's
I say.
Okay, so trooper. Cool.
Yeah.
Trooper, not O-O, but O-U.
A trooper.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was totally a trooper.
Did you get into plays and stuff?
I did some of that, like, pretty straightforward acting.
Memorizing lines.
And I went to theater school after I went to art school, but... I was too, like, it wasn't the shit for me. It was too straight and too, not just true, like, straight in all ways. I was just, I didn't fit in. I wanted to do more weirder stuff.
I wonder, you know, I've heard from people, sometimes schools, like Larry, I just talked about, he went to college to be a drummer. And they said, we're going to make you a teacher. He goes, I want to do gigs. I want to play.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're going to be a teacher.
Yeah.
So I wonder about institutions sometimes just want to perpetuate. I mean, I'm not saying that learning stuff from people is bad.
Book learning is a terrible thing.
Okay.
So, no, I'm glad I have the training stuff because I know it's like a skill that I really do have.
Yeah.
And I teach now, so I do get invited to teach, like, as an adjunct person. And that comes in really handy, because I actually am like, oh, I do know
so
how to do
it. So you ended up being a teacher.
CalArts. When I can.
Both my sisters
CalArts, yeah. But
one's high school, one's junior high. It's
a little different. A little different. More noble.
Still, you got to come up with skills, because you're fighting for their attention.
You really are.
My sisters tell me it's intense.
Well, in college, they're like, fuck you. I have, you know, I paid, so I can do whatever the hell I want.
Oh, man.
And then you're like, well, why would you pay and not
listen?
Yeah.
And I had
entitlement to, creatures.
Yeah, especially the art school. But
so
then there's
what
some
you're
really
saying
good
is, so this is a thing I discovered about your work with the comedy. It actually was there because the theater was there. And, of course, theater's about singing, acting, all kinds. You incorporate it all. What did Miss Shakespeare say? World is a stage.
World is a stage.
And you know, I gotta tell you, my favorite holiday is Halloween because it's the one day all year we admit we wear costumes. Finally.
It's true. Pizza rat.
Another 364 days of posing. Stiff as if you're frozen.
Are you still a jackal?
Pumpkin?
Yeah.
Ichabod Cray? Yeah, with a flannel. I just cut the bottom of the fucking pumpkin out. Well, I cut the faces. Sometimes it has been too tight. One time it was so tight I couldn't get off. I had to drive up. That was foolish. I couldn't turn my head. It was really stupid.
Wait, you
was when Nels had that alligator lounge. Remember that? Mondays.
And you couldn't take it off?
I couldn't because it was too tight. And it was, and I would have had to crack it off, and then I ended up having to crack it off. I didn't want to ruin it, so I drove up there. But, man, I was just seeing through them triangles. And, you know, it was really stupid. I'll never do that again. But this time...
What if you did do it again? You're like, fuck, I did it again!
I ran into
with the pumpkin!
Oops, I did it again.
God damn it. I thought I learned this lesson.
I wore a little black mask this time.
Okay.
I think I've done almost 30 straight gigs of a costume on Halloween. Yeah, this one, because it was with Taff Falco, and where was it? Sacktown. And he had this picture. He's into this guy named Fantomas, some guy from France 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe he ain't even real. He was just made. But anyway, this guy wore a little black mask. I thought, you know, I had to wear a suit. There's the pointy shoes. With heels. I never wore fucking shoes with heels. Anyway, so this was probably the easiest costume I ever wore. Sometimes some dudes have made me a big paper mache. It was the little roundhead dudes. Talk a bunch of shit.
I don't know.
It's a cartoon that's drawn pretty crude. Anyway, the paper mache melts your body temperature. You know, it comes on me. Usually it's a huge fight. I can't breathe. I can't see. But I think it's worth it to do one gig a year.
Costumes.
Outfits.
You need an outfit. I believe
in outfits. I'm into it. In fact, a few years ago, maybe 6-7 years ago, I got into nightwear. You know, I came from Virginia.
I got into nightwear?
Into nightwear.
What exactly do you mean nightwear?
It's shit you wear at when you're conking, yeah, not
you mean
naked.
Like a... Oh, you mean like a sleeping outfit?
Yeah.
Pajamas!
Yeah.
Nightwear, otherwise known as pajamas.
Yeah, and it's trippy because, you know, that's why I conk right here. I don't have a bed, so I roll around.
He means sleep, ladies and gentlemen. I'm, like, having a little bit of trouble falling.
Well, with the fucking nightwear, you don't have to worry about rolling out from under the blanket. That's why I'd always wake up all naked, freezing to death.
Wait, you sleep here?
Right here.
Every night?
Right, up here. It's like this. See how the pillows are here?
Yeah. You sleep.
I just bring blanket.
Basically,
I keep the blanket in the closet. So.
You sleep sitting up.
Yeah, because
like
I'm
a total creep.
You've been to
like
Monticello?
Walking.
Where have you been to Monticello? Mr. Justin's house. He's going to his. Where's the bedroom? There's the study in the library. And the guy tells you, he conked here in the archway in between. And he's 6 foot tall. Archway says, how'd he conk? sitting up because he thought conking with too much blood in their brain is bad. And he lived 8. So I picked up on it.
Yeah.
There's no crucifixes.
He seems yeah. like a good role model.
He's buried under obelisk. Yeah, the no state religion, right? I like that idea.
He had some good ideas. Yeah, some not very good ones also.
200 slaves.
Take what you like, leave the rest.
A couple of them, yeah.
So that's the
a la carte.
Yeah.
Okay. But back to you. Enough about what. So, are you ever, as you develop this thing, did you ever think one should take precedent over the other?
Yeah. Okay. It's so interesting that you ask that because I used to stress out about that, but I don't anymore at all. I feel like it's all the same. And I feel like
people doing stuff.
Yeah. And just like exploring what I'm in, you know, and what I'm into, and I don't have any problem with it. I mean, lately I've been making a lot of video and stuff, and video is really great because it's like all these elements that I love. Like I can do all this visual shit and then perform and then have music and edit. I love to edit and then, you know, music and,
like her brother-in-law, right? He's a singer in a band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's also...
Right, and we're doing something together, he and
is
I.
Is that right?
Yeah, and that's how I met this one.
Okay. He was on the show a couple
I
weeks
know.
Ago.
Yeah, he's a good talker.
Intense, you know? And his journey was pretty trippy about
yeah.
music. And it seemed like he had them kind of split, but if you ask me...
Seems like now it's...
Pretty,
I like that. It. And I used to have more of a self-consciousness about the whole thing. You know, like I wanted my persona to be more private. I also draw, and I was like, oh, that's a totally different thing. And now I just feel like I don't care. You know?
It's all expression.
Yeah, and I feel like it's actually more interesting because the artists that I really like, I just want to see everything they do.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, like... You know, like someone like Yoko Ono, like making a ton of records and then doing performances and then making paintings and making sculpture and, you know, or Patti Smith, you know, like
poems
and then writing books and
singing
in a rock band. And, yeah, I don't know. I just, yeah, I don't care anymore. I just
want to
do whatever I want, really.
Instead of uni-omni.
Omnitard instead of unitard. Yeah. That's what I've been called before.
Really? So, early days, finding your place, your niche, kind of tough, right? But it probably helped made you what you are now.
Yeah.
So no regret?
No.
Yeah, good.
No, totally not. I had a kind of a hard time for a long time, but...
I can imagine.
When I was about 30, I got sober, and I started to, like, take care of myself in a real way, you know, and, like, deal with some of the shit that I'd been, you know, harboring against, because I had kind of a, you know, I had a little bit of a rough childhood, and I had... My parents were not really available at all. And I was, like, very resentful of that. And, you know, just, like, I have to do everything on my own. But I didn't really know how to actually do anything, so.
You learned by doing.
Yeah. And now I'm an adult woman of dignity in the world, making my way to San Pedro and back in my own car with gasoline that I purchased, stopping at Starbucks because I need a coffee, you know? I got to take care of myself. And, yeah, making choices.
Sometimes it takes a lifetime to
no
learn
regrets.
That stuff.
No regrets. No regrets. No regrets. No regrets. But actually, we were talking in the car, and I was on this little, like, Lemmy K-hole last night, and I was, like, listening to a bunch of Hawkwind and, like, just, and then thinking about you and your bands that were so, I mean, on heavy rotation for me when I was a teenager, and just thinking about, like, that time being kind of shitty just in general, but then the music of that time you know, really, it sounds corny, but really, like, saving me. You know, just, like, having that to do with my friends. I feel like having, like, a real scene, of a music scene, was, like, very happening and very alive. And I started only in the late 80s and through the 90s being involved in it, but, it, you know.
Our first out-of-town gig, I got to show my second man, because we were in the city to open for X at the Independent. Which in the older days was called the VIS.
Mm.
Well, I think in between it was called Justice League. It was the Visadero. There was a great rib place across the street called Brothers-in-Law. And then the Church of St. John Coltrane was down the street.
Yeah, what year was this you're talking about?
I'm thinking maybe this is around late 80s. There. But the first time that I got to play, in fact, Minutemen's first out of town, out of SoCal, was the Mabuhay on Broadway.
Oh, yeah.
And we stayed with Vale.
Oh, wow.
Marianne, the research guy. Vale played, he's the first keyboard player for Blue Cheer. He puts out this, in those older days, he had a zine called Search and Destroy.
Yeah.
You know, I know we're the same state, but, man, our scenes weren't that connected.
I barely came down here for
sure. Right? And I think likewise, too. Only...
It was like Black Flag, and
they would
you know,
like
that.
And we would borrow their boat to come. We never stay over. We always drive home right after the gig, 400 miles. So insane.
Oh,
that fog would be so heavy. But anyway, the Mabuhay's there, and they named the alley after Dirk Dirksen, who put on the gigs. But they paved over all the brick and the deck. You know, the I don't know gravel. It wasn't a through alley.
Yeah.
And the loading hatch was there, huh? So every boat, every van that came in there to load, everyone pissed. And I had the strongest piss smell. I mean, I've been to a lot of pads, and there was nothing like the piss smell of that alley. I mean, you could have, I don't know, head cold, you know.
You could have a pumpkin on your head.
Right. And that, for example, ammonia smell would like rip right through it. Just one big wolf. And there was none of that left. Because that's where the punk first was. It was kind of the kind of Dota, that street there. And then also City Lights.
Purple Onion.
Is near there. And because he's right by the Hungry Eye in the Bass Hotel. Also the Italian Park where Mr. Coppola wrote The Godfather and that Cafe Trieste.
Wow.
I got to show Pete and Jer. If you were listening to us, in a way, we were like kind of plugged in, too, to the thing. We're all, I think, drawn from the same well. There's just can't be born at the same time. So there's different shifts.
Yeah, but I wonder what's out there now. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's out there now. I have no idea. For the kids.
The kids.
For the kids. What are the kids like?
I think the idea of experiencing, you know, to physically go to pads, I mean, they can find out about it. Right, virtually through the iNet, but they could actually go there and walk around and trip on it, too. Maybe. That's one reason why I write the diaries. I try to get people curious that way.
Yeah.
But I think it's really easy to get cynical about the next shift. I think every generation does
know.
That. All those kids.
Yeah, we don't know. We just don't know. I don't know what's going on. Plus, it's like, even if it is a shit show right now, which I kind of felt like things went really south, like, after the year 2000, it was like, what the fuck is going on? But, you know, we need all those shitty times to, like, rebel against and then, you know, make
a farmer
something.
Would say, if you want a good crop, use a lot of manure.
Yeah, exactly. Or, like, rebel, you know, that tension or...
Right.
You know,
there's no friction, the tire just spins.
Yeah. There's no disco.
There's no disco.
There's no, not going to be any, no, I don't know, I'm just making it
up.
Oh, yeah. If there's no disco, there's not going to be any anti-disco.
Yeah,
which is,
right.
Or whatever.
I remember when disco came, it was around the same time as punk. And I thought they were both reactions against arena rock.
Arena rock, yeah.
Nuremberg rally kind of stuff, you know.
And,
all of a sudden, but the disco people were very pretty, so it's like, look at me. The punk people, we are very silly. Look at us.
Yes.
But they both were saying, hey, wait a minute. Why are we all liking the same person all together in huge herd?
Yeah.
And I think you're right. You have to have Yeah, things to rebel against, react against.
Yeah.
React with.
I mean.
Sometimes there's that thing too. This meets this, and then the third thing comes in. Sometimes.
Right. Like a Reese's peanut butter cup, for example.
Is that
so
right?
Things.
We're at the end of the second hour. December 30, 2015. Last show, Watt from Pedro this year. Hold tight for hour three. December 30th, 2015. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
Heart like a wheel, I think that's what it is called. We'll see you guys in the Check. Okay, alright, moving along with the show. Okay, breathe now. Yeah. Okay, now stretch it out. Stretch it out. Good. Okay, now arms like pasta. Yes, arms like pasta. Good. Legs, those legs like jello. Good. All right. Eyes, get your eyes like soup. Soupy eyes. That's right. Hands, fingertips, firecrackers. Sis, boom, ah, yeah, oh yeah, feet like ticking time bombs, time's ticking in my toes, tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-toe-toe-top-tap-tap, tick-a-tick-top-top. Okay, now you're feeling your body now. Expand, you're a balloon, and your mind is spinning like a spinning top. Okay, get it together. All right, and you feeling it, and yes, and now we exhale.
Yeah. Unterm Feigenbaum sprich ein Gedicht, das so süß ist wie ein Kindertraum. Lass dich nicht wecken, wenn der Morgen graut. Sie morden dir den Tag. Schreib deinen Schmerz auf ein kleines graues Taschentuch. Mach einen Scherz und sprich zärtlich einen leisen Fluch. Lass sie nicht gerben, deine weiche Haut.
Die Wächter, die die Stadt durchstreiften, hat den gesehen, den man vorüber, da fand ich ihn, den meine Seele liebt. Ich ergriff ihn und ich ließ ihn nicht mehr los. Ich beschwöre euch, Töchter Jerusalems, bei den Gazellen und den Hirschkühen des Feldes. Weckt nicht, stört nicht die Liebe, ehe es ihr selbst gefällt.
Media.
Pedro show started the third hour off with soup eyes. Something live from Dynasty Handbag. And I stand corrected. I thought it was a weird way of saying surprise. But it's actually eyes that are like soup. Then we had Elmo and the Sticks from England with Posh. David Nesselhoff from Germany with Feinling. Tribal Interlude from Germany, Cosmo Drone. And, okay, Weck nicht die Liebe. Now, Liebe is love, right, my love? Something's not the love. Kim Bum and Kestner. And Sylvia Junkosa, now she's SoCal, with Eureka. Brother Steve Reed on the bass. Black Leather Rock from X Space. No, it's X Black X. Blind Idiot God with Under the Weight. And Tuggy from Germany with Blood Blister. Got a lot of German bands in this one. And from Liverpool, Stand Up, Super Fast Guru Show. Brother Phil there. Tell me about soup eyes. Okay. Kind of a horse thing, huh? Oh, Wilbur. Remember that? Oh, Wilbur.
I mean,
right?
I kind of want to say I don't remember. Because I feel like it was like, assigning incongruous things to different body parts or something. That's always a good visual, is being like, eyes like soup. What does that look like? And there's lots of, like, waving around you can do, and I think there was some, like, firecracker feet or something in there.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly. But a lot of times I'll write things that just I can imagine performing really easily that will be amusing to me. Like, I'll write it so that I'm...
It's for you.
Yeah, it's for me.
It's not for the gig-goer.
Yeah.
Listener.
Meow, meow, meow. I mean, I want it to be fun, but if I find it fun, it'll probably be fun for them.
No, I got that. You know, the old days of a scene, a lot of people didn't like it.
Yeah.
They did not like it. So if you were looking for validation from folks...
Yeah.
I remember there's this one song, and I just wanted D. Boone to say big fucking shit. It had nothing to do with the rest of the song. I just wanted to
hear it. Oh, yeah, big fucking
shit. He says that in that song, It's Expected I'm Gone. It has nothing to do with the song. I just wanted to hear him say it. I didn't care what other people made of it or even what D. Boone thought of it.
Right.
I just want to hear you say that right in this place.
Right, and those are the things that, like, stay with you, you know, are these funny little incongruous moments.
This is back in your past, this soup eyes. Yeah. Have things changed?
With my eyes, they're not as soupy. No, they're
more clear.
They're a little more chowder style.
Chowder. So you're more clear-eyed now.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I'm more set on...
But you don't have as much bad things happening in your life, so do you have stuff to draw upon like you did in the old days?
Nope. Yeah. Everything I make is... Sell flowers and unicorns.
Yeah. Bart baby's breath.
Yeah. No, I have some bad things, but they're... I feel like my work is not quite as self-obsessed as it was, you know, when you're starting to make work and you just want to write, you have to write all your pain out and write all your shit
almost
out.
Almost reinvent yourself again.
Exactly. So I have a little more freedom.
This next tune I'm going to play is Breakup Day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like that.
But you know what? That music is incredible.
Thank you.
It really is.
I like that song.
Maybe tougher to do in the old days. The way you made rhythms out of those cuts is just incredible.
Wow, what a compliment.
Now, the FEMA, kind of worn out a little bit. But everyone can relate.
Yeah.
Okay. But the music is really incredible.
Thank you.
You know, I don't know how you got that going, but...
That was made on one of those microcords.
But, you know, something like with the bass, you know, we got big strings, so...
Yeah.
Also, the physics. The more notes we play, the littler we get. So it's always a search for the right notes. And the way you chop that up, I know it's got strings, like a guitar, but really it's a drum. Our closest sounds are the kick.
Yeah, yeah.
There's such a fraud about the bass. James Jamerson was the only one to really.
That's where they're, the rhythm section. Quite frankly.
Or sometimes your voice, like with Lemmy. His bass. Rah, his voice. Rah.
Yeah.
He was so nice to me. This one time, I was mixing my first opera, and it happened to be where he was mixing what he called was an opera, too. He goes, I'm doing an opera, too. And it's just me and him in the building. The engineer men are in their booths, so it's just me and him. He goes, yeah, it's called 1916. It's the First World War. So, yeah, in my mind, about three guys in a boat. It's kind of the same. He had a bottle of wild turkey, and he let me drink it. And he had a machine gun belt and weird kind of hat. And, yeah, gray leotards. But he was so kind of me and, what do you call it? Genuine. And is you rap it with him, you know?
Uh-huh.
He wasn't just putting on some front. He was a good cat, man. And he spoke much different than the way he talked. His voice was more
like this, and I was going,
yeah. Sort of like him. The cape. Wasn't like that.
Oh, that would have been a surprise.
It wasn't like that, but it was
soft.
Well,
he would have had to have been pretty genuine, I would imagine, to just keep. I mean, he's doing the same fucking thing for so long. It's like, you can't, I don't know, you can't fake that.
No.
And then he's also just into so much weird stuff that you're like, why, how would you pretend that? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I'll tell you this, though, when he sang or he played, you know it was him.
Yeah.
Isn't there something about that where, what's it called? Some kind of personality? I know there's technique and getting stuff right. Correct.
But that's how you play.
Well, I think I'm more drawn to that.
You can tell if it's you, no?
Well, we're going to play Breakup Day.
Okay.
We heard Break of Day, Dynasty Handbook. Turn the fucking mute. Down Jungle, World's Forgot Son, Mother, Wild Style Line, Bjorkstrand by Solanke, Your Theme, Super Chuck, The Pea Party, Can Can Heads, Tanny by Ujma Doma, How It Went, Labor Camp, Finally, Permanence of Change by Thalm Kaufman. I ask everybody to just, those two people. One of them's Thalam, one's Kaufman. Thalam, I think, Pacifica, near the city. That's where Brother Steve, go there for
Democracy
Steve's shop.
Live.
That's right.
Not anymore, though.
She's now Amy Kuhlman, New York City, right? Yep. Pacifica, there's Los Altos, there's a good station out there. Dave Emery, Radio Free. Whatever, it's trippy stuff. But I asked everybody who comes on the show this advice.
Oh.
Somebody from the next shift, a younger person, come up. Ms. Jibs, what would you be your advice in this fucking racket?
Oh, God. Well, what? Let me tell you. What is my advice? I guess I would say, it'll be hard. It's hard to make work. It's hard. It's fun. It's also hard.
Yeah.
It's like hard emotionally. It's hard. It brings out all of your insecurities and all your shit and all your everything. But just do it anyway.
It's worth it.
Cause you're giving a gift to people. You're like, it's not about you, you know? It's like about just being like, hey, I have this thing. I'm going to just give it away. And then it'll come back. And it's not going to ever make you any money. If it does, you're just really lucky. That's all. So forget about that part of it.
Yeah, I like that.
That's like a big thing.
I like that. And I really, thanks so much, Pat. Arranging this.
It was so great. And so great to meet you.
And going all the way down to Peter.
Such a big fan. Oh. I really am. Like,
most
I when she told me that, I was like, what? I was like, what? What? What are you saying?
What? So.
What?
When you get a new thing, come on, let's play it.
And okay.
I would like to get roofie.
Oh, my God. I'll you... Okay, so you WAP wants to get roofied, and I will be honored, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody, it's the last show for 2015. Hope you have a good 2016. It's been December 30, 2015. Edition of WAP Peter Show. Everybody, keep your powder dry.